There's an empty chair here. I've had an apology from the chair, Councillor Hood. She's substituted this evening by Councillor McEwen. So for this meeting, we're going to have to appoint a chair for the meeting. And convention allows that it would go to the opposition group. So with that in mind, could I take nominations for chair of the meeting for this evening, please? Are there any other nominations for chair? Can I take a vote, please? Okay, that's agreed. Councillor Pearce, if you'd like to take a seat.
Thank you. I did hear Councillor Pearce offer to do it, but I don't think that would have been appropriate, really. But, there we go. Anyway, thank you. So, first item is the apologies. So, sorry, the first item is the minutes of the last meeting, which have been published. So we are agreeable that they're... agreeable that those are correct record. Agreed? Everyone? Yep.
Thank you, okay. Chair. What I will do, I'll ask Councillor Hood to sign them off at the next meeting.
Thank you. So the second item is apologies, and we've heard from Councillor Hood. Are there any other apologies?
No, there isn't, Chair.
Thank you. Next is public question time. There's none. Council session, none. Members' items, none. Calling in item is pages 3 to 47. It's the Council Climate Adaptation Strategy. So... it's for those presumably calling it in.
That's right, if you'd like to
call on that. So, yes, okay. Anne, would you like to?
When I looked at it, I thought that for a start it was sort of, I know it's the impact, but it was basically a fait accompli. And there was no sort of prevention as such, even though there was going to be communication strategies throughout on mitigating the effects of climate change, there was no thought on preventing anything, even though I know you're saying there's enough evidence to support the notion that climate change is the most severe threat humankind's ever faced, etc, etc. But it just seemed like, well, and there's not a lot we can do. And I feel that as a borough council, if we tried to mitigate the reasons for climate change, and that was replicated all across the country by other borough councils, that would have a huge, not that they would copy you per se, but if every borough council makes an effort, then that's got to have an impact, hasn't it? And I know that there are things that you're suggesting, but there's no sort of communication strategy about prevention, which really concerns me. I mean, because my whole career was based on prevention as a health visitor.
Right, ask if there's anybody else wishes to speak on it, and then Councillor Price. Yeah, so is there anybody else wish to speak on this? So, Councillor Price.
So, on page 3, it says to further discuss the issues raised by the strategy, and then it says for the following reasons. So, before I carry on,
yeah.
Well,
one is that I just said that there wasn't any preventative strategy, that it's all about dealing with the circumstances arising. It said also that there was on I think page 9. It said there are no financial implications, and that there were no legal implications. And I wondered if, does that mean people should be looking for funding to try and help towards some of the goals mentioned later on? Risk management, also on page 9, said there were no implications. The attendant risks outlined by the government's bill and sustainability in West Midlands, but there's got to be risk to people's well-being, hasn't there? Yeah, there is risk. There's obvious risk. But I might be completely missing the point, Tracy. I tried to come and see you, but you were on holiday, weren't you?
Councillor Loughran wants to come in.
But I'm also interested in your consultation. I would like a wee bit more information about that, because I can't quite understand why, in actual fact, three respondents did not respond. You know, why would you talk to three folk that weren't talking to you? You know, who were you? Who were you consulting?
Page seven.
Three respondents did not respond.
Yeah, I'm sure Councillor Price will deal with these points, but yes, do you want to come in on it?
Only on the same page at the bottom of that page, it talks about somebody's made a comment about and a suggestion that there's a desperate need to reduce the high volume of traffic on the route and propose that the town centre should be able to be reached by cycle only, and if there's one way to kill the town totally dead, that would be it. There are people like me who live in a village. We need to drive into town, really.
I'm a tad confused. Because if I call in a planning application, I have to have very specific reasons why I called it in.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
And then before the meeting, we can decide what our stances are on those reasons for the calling. We're just getting these kind of vague reasons why this has been called in.
I don't think they're vague at all.
Can we have one speaker at a time, please? Can you indicate if you wish to speak, please?
So it would be a lot easier to go through this to understand what the specifics were and not just hear them now.
Okay.
When you say you're calling it in for the following reasons and then, copy the call.
Right, I think you've made the point. So does anybody else wish to come in?
I wish to make exactly before, the same point.
Well, okay.
I want to say exactly the same thing. It's not stating what the reasons are, and I think to stop bringing up things ad hoc as opposed to actually putting them out for people to actually be able to look at and come up with the necessary responses. It's not that this just doesn't make any sense at all.
Hang on, just a second. Yes.
Yeah, just to follow up on what I was saying, if I could ask Andrew, is this actually a point of order, Andrew?
No, we did check before when we received the call, and it goes to the monitoring officer. He did agree with that because the constitution does not specifically say that you need such a specific reason.
Okay, so there's a difference then between the planning committee and this.
I'd remind members that there will be a review of the constitution coming up in the early new year.
Thank you, Councillor Price.
So I'll say a few words on the climate adaptation strategy first, and then obviously I have a few other comments if I could add that, please, Chair. So it will be useful to firstly address the purpose of the adaptation strategy. There's a difference between climate adaptation and climate mitigation. Mitigation includes actions which reduce the levels of greenhouse gas emissions being released into the atmosphere. Adaptation includes actions which will deliver resilience against the now unavoidable impact of climate change. Do not reduce greenhouse emissions. The Stafford Borough Council Climate Adaptation Strategy identifies a series of measures which, in the river, will increase resilience to the impact of climate change, both internally within the Borough Council and across the wider borough area. This document has been developed in line with the current policy and guidelines, and so incorporates adaptive actions identified within the Climate Change Committee's assessment of UK climate risk. And more locally, Sustainable West Midlands Climate Change Adaptation Plan. Mitigation measures are identified in Council's Climate Change and Green Recovery Strategy, while measures seeking to increase biodiversity will be addressed through the biodiversity strategy. For me, I am a little concerned. We have some questions raised within this document from members, particularly those that have called this in. The majority of them have absolutely nothing to do with climate change adaptation strategy, which makes me feel that potentially that members have either missed the point or don't actually fully understand what the document's about, or worse, haven't even read it. So that does concern me. This went out to consultation for 6 weeks, and to my mind, you would have had an opportunity at that point to put some information in there or commented on the adaptation strategy. Again, it went to Cabinet. I sat on that Cabinet, and we put the paper forward then. I saw no members come there either or raise any concerns. So then when I did find that it had been called in, I was a little surprised. And as again, I've seen the questions that were raised on the adaptation strategy. I think only one of them actually had anything to do with climate change adaptation. So again, I am a little concerned. We also had a peer review as well by the Sustainability West Midlands, and I believe they said that it was an excellent piece of best practice, is that correct? And they also raised no concerns with it either. So the fact that I'm here today, I am a little confused. The only other thing I can think of perhaps is that it's been done for some form of political gain.
I don't think it helps to question the motives of those calling items in. I'm going to complete what I started saying, thank you. Members have a right to call items in, and as has been explained, they don't have to give specific reasons why. Thank you. Councillor Loughran.
Thank you, Chairman. Can I take members back to the beginning of the paper? And without nitpicking the way some people appear to be doing, if you look, it says, it's called in to this committee by Councillor Adrian Hobbs, David Lawton and Ian Lawton for the following reason: to further discuss the issues raised by this strategy. I would suggest, Chairman, that the waters following the words, will you stop me, Tim, please? Your manners leave a lot to be desired, if you'll pardon my saying so. May I continue, Chairman, by saying that I think there is possibly a typographical error there, and for the following reasons should be omitted. It's just been repeated from the line above. So okay. In actual fact, the call-in was to further discuss the strategy. Now, I would say, Chairman, because of this nitpicking on the other side, that that is a legitimate reason for calling it in. And perhaps if people had read properly, they would have been able to detect also that those four words are there by mistake. It's a repetition of the four words at the end of the sentence above. And anyone with the slightest intelligence would be able to see that. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you.
And my question also, Chairman, if I may go back, is to see who was the consultation with? Because we haven't got details of that, because it does concern me, whenever we in actual fact are talking about two respondents representing a partner organisation, 16 were members of the community, 3 did not respond. Were they chosen by sticking a pin into a list of people and organisations? If so, why did 3 respondents not respond? 2 respondents said the strategy did not do 2. Another typographical area there. But again, further down, are the areas of focus in the strategy about right? 3 respondents did not respond. Why didn't they respond? It's a question not really relevant. It really does make me concerned that we are actually claiming that we are consulting with people whenever 3 out of how many are not responding. I mean, you can go to your percentages and forget that to be, you know, a very low percentage, but if in actual fact your total number is 16 add 2 add 3, then you get 21, and you get 3 of those 21 who are not answering. What's wrong with your questions? That's what I would say to you. There's something wrong with your method of actually consulting with the public. Thank you, Jamie.
Thank you. So I've got Councillor Phillips next.
I just wanted to draw councillors' attention to 3.7 on page 5, which says the strategy has recently been subjected to a 6-week period of public consultation. The appropriate feedback has been integrated into the document, so it was public consultation. So people weren't nitpicked, they weren't grabbed off the street or specific groups. It was public consultation, which as councillors, every single one of us could have given our own feedback within that consultation.
Chairman, can I come back? Because if she is talking about public consultation, surely you're not telling me that 2 responding out of the whole of the public is a meaningful consultation. Come on, who are you trying to
get? Angela,
thank you,
could
Chairman.
You address your remarks to the chair, thank please? You. Thank you. And you wanted to come in now?
Yes, yeah. Just I could tell when I read this report that it was done by an outside consultancy, because it's probably twice as long as what it needs to be. It says here, wasn't it, at the end, external somewhere, produced by external consultants. On page 47. I'm not criticising the content, I'm just saying that it is quite repetitive. The same little sentences, paragraphs are being repeated all the way through. I don't disagree with the proposal. I just think it loses something when you make it twice as long as what it should be.
I think actually page 47 refers to the County Council's climate change adaptation mitigation strategies.
Just for clarification, Chair, we've wrote this document.
Yeah, okay.
Well, can I suggest, through you, Chair, that these would be better if they were more prudent in their number of pages? Stop, keep repeating the same thing, so it's almost like trying to reinforce something. It's far easier to read a report that's concise than something that's overlong.
Before you respond to that, could I raise an issue on this report? On many occasions, the comment is made that the actions described will entail additional expenditure or staffing, which isn't at the moment provided for. And at the same time, there's talk here of a communication strategy of involving the public and various bodies and so on in this. So I just raise the question of, you know, is it appropriate to be raising it with various agencies and public when we don't appear to have the budget and the staff to actually deal with what is being proposed? Should that not come first? Is the question.
So through you, Chair.
Yes.
I think the whole concept of the document is that climate change adaptation is not just a sole responsibility of the Borough Council.
No, no.
So we have to very much work in partnership with a lot of the agencies that are mentioned in the document.
Indeed.
So that's the rationale for wanting to work in partnership to develop a communication strategy, because, you know, we can't put measures in if other agencies and other organisations aren't going to work with us on those, or else it's not going to
okay.
work. So that's the reason why, and then from that exercise we'll be able to come up with a plan, quite a robust plan that's costed and that is resourced. At the moment that was the next step from the strategy. Once it was agreed and implemented, we wanted to take on to that next step for the Commons piece.
That's helpful, thank you. The other question, though, following on from that, is will it be possible to do that in time for the this year's budget process? So, Councillor Price, please.
If the adaptation strategy hadn't been called in and we put it through sooner, then yes, but unfortunately no, because it's now here before you, which is now sort of the entire process.
Thank you, Chair.
Sorry. Yes.
Sorry.
Yes, indeed. It was someone else who'd indicated as
oh,
well.
Right.
So, Councillor Sutherland.
Thank you. Page 17, I'm referring to the Chairman. how we build resilience against excessive rainfall and flooding. The sound thing from Angela, Councillor Loughlin, will probably remember this. I'd like to say that the sound thing in terms of drainage board have completed a hydraulic model for their particular district. Mm-hmm. Of course, that involves, that's a lot of the areas in Staffordshire. By using the IDB survey and modelling of ordinary watercourses and EA survey modelling of main rivers, the Sound Pink and the EA are working together to create an updated hydraulic model of the drainage district to actually improve the understanding of flood risk now and in the future. And this is specific for Stafford Borough.
Okay.
This will update national flood mapping and help to reduce flood risk and injury to owner-occupiers where possible through maintenance and capital projects, and in turn form the basis for future resilience projects. So this is actually ideal for this, covering this particular area.
Thank you.
And what I've suggested to our cabinet member, Councillor Price, is that arrange for one of the engineers to come and do a presentation to him and the officer first, and then if you feel it's relevant, totally relevant, then maybe we can arrange through the chairman of this group, this committee, to do a presentation.
Thank you.
To the members here.
Thank you. I've got Councillor Cooper. Was it on that particular point? Or?
It was just wondering whether perhaps we could get, as now County Council is the local lead flood authority, perhaps they could come over as well and talk a little bit about the impact on Stafford Borough in particular for all members.
Hmm. Would members be interested in that presentation?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. Indeed, it is, yeah. Yeah. Okay, Councillor Cooper had indicated.
Apologies, Chair, I was indicating that Councillor Nixon.
Oh, right. Oh, Councillor Nixon.
I actually wanted to commend the Council on actually delivering this report. I think whilst 21 respondents isn't the heady heights that we would have all liked to have seen, I actually think this is a good start, and I think it gives us a platform to work from. I think on page 23, where it talks about developing a communications plan focusing on how waste collection will be impacted during the periods of inclement weather, I noticed there, obviously, it says around staffing resources may be an issue. And I know we work well with our suppliers and partners, but are we putting additional pressure on our supply chain through procurement to support those types of activities? Is that something that we could be looking to, further enhance?
We can always look to further enhance things like that, and we are working quite closely with all of our contractors.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Just on the one issue of flooding again, something which has been talked of for some time is the need for a single contact point or a single phone number that people can ring on flooding issues. Is that something that's being looked at, being proposed? I know it talks about having better lines of communication and so on. Yes.
There's a review going on at the moment with the Lead Flood Authority, and we're actually looking at doing that as well, along with the Environment Agency, Severn Trent Water and Stafford Borough Council's adaptation strategy, because I think that's really, really important. There are phone numbers out there, but we need something a bit more to end up.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Are there any other questions or comments?
Well, I'd like to comment that, calling this in wasn't about being political, but it's obviously a grave concern to everyone, and that we, want the opportunity to discuss what's happening. That's what the scrutiny committee is about. We're not playing any games at all.
Okay, thank you. Yes, Councillor Price.
I think the point that I was raising, there's been numerous opportunities to look at this, read it and raise, and at no point has that been done. And actually what's happened today is this document's been slowed down purely because we had to bring it here, so we couldn't put it forward to full council, which is why the work that we're desperately trying to get done has been stalled by several months.
Well, that's. I mean,
just,
I don't.
Just
well,
one
go
comment,
on.
Just
yeah.
Just to say that the first time we saw sight of this was in the cabinet papers. That was the first time. Was it?
Yes, we tried to call
it. Yes.
No, that was the 3-year chair. It was subject to a full public consultation in March, and it was out there. It was on our your policies and your strategies to be the best that they possibly can, but that's the situation and where we are.
Where we are, yeah. Okay, thanks very much. I think if everyone's happy with that, then we'll move on. Thank you for that.
Note the decision of the cabinet.
Yes. Can we note the cabinet's decision then on that?
It is noted.
Thank you. So. Moving on then, so next item is the fees and charges review, pages 48 to 53. Yeah, thank you. Are you going to speak on this first?
I'll do a very, very brief preamble.
Right.
Which is going to be in the key areas. In terms of the background, as we're all aware, inflation is running at a very high level, 12.3% after the Open's report. We've suggested increases of around 5% in the main and what the market does there. I draw members' attention. Paragraphs 5.4, 5.5, and 5.6. So 5.4 refers to the ones where we've frozen the charges. 5.5 relates to some new service fees. Which were already there last year, but they're omitted, so we've done the effort and completeness this time. There's some new charges, and there are some proposed increases above the threshold of 12.3%, which are on the appendix. And have to take any questions.
Right, so should we go through this page by page? Is that acceptable? So I think on page 48, 49. And we'll look at the details later on, but there's those new charges there, page 49. Any questions or comments? Yes?
5.6, Chairman.
That's page 50, yes. So we aren't there yet. Okay.
That's all right, I've got page number.
Ah, right, okay, sorry. So, page 49, which, is there any comments or questions? So, that's paragraph 5.5 is the last one on that page. So, moving over then to page 50, you had a point on that.
Yes, realistically, I understand the need to increase charges over and above inflation in some cases. But the charge of 12.3% on page 5.6 reflects significantly higher costs, particularly energy. And hopefully those energy costs at some stage will come down. Will we be reviewing the costs at that stage?
When energy costs come down.
The reduction in energy costs for.
Yes. Would you like to come in on that?
Yeah.
Firstly, I don't think energy costs will come down, but if they did, by some miracle, drop back to normality, of course, everything gets reviewed each year, doesn't it? So it would reflect the following year. I see it being a lot worse next year than this year, not better. So I can't see that coming down.
Okay.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think it's just I'm on page 50, I believe. I'm getting to your same point, 5.6. Just disappointing that we increase sports and recreational charges when at the same time we're talking about health and well-being.
Mm. Mm.
And that seems contradictory to what we want to do, is improve our health. And especially, as I say, the concessionary charges go up disproportionately to by 26%, when perhaps that's on page 53.
Well, we'll come to that.
Sorry,
yeah.
Okay. I'll hold my fire on that.
Yeah,
one.
Well, so it will, yes, come to that.
Yeah, my point is around 5.6 as well. I agree with Brendan McEwen. I know it's a very difficult situation we find ourselves in, but you know, especially on the back of COVID, you know, obesity levels in this country are pretty appalling. Some of the charges do seem, you know, pretty high, especially as we're talking about inflation is going to be dropping to 7% next year. Have we looked at things like sort of seasonal offers and promotions? I haven't looked at it in detail, but do we sort of throughout the year, is there an opportunity to model it so in the winter months, you know, we sort of drop the prices so that we can increase usage in the winter months? Have we explored those kind of things?
Through you, Chair, most of the people that book the pitches tend to do it for the whole year.
Right.
And they do get a discount if they do a block booking.
Right.
So, you know, I think with this, the charges proposed are to be, as we say, to be comparable with Freedom, so that we're not kind of
okay, so we were on 50. Is there any other points or questions on page 50?
No.
51, and then the details are on the following pages. So, page 52. Yes, Councillor Lockie.
Excuse me, I'm looking at the increase in charges and referring back to page 50, where we talked about the increase being possibly and particularly because of the increase in energy charges. Well, if you're actually hiring the pitches, not all the hires are going to be during the time whenever energy is being paid for. The energy is only coming from the participants. It's not coming from lights being switched on. So I would be wondering why and how you're going to justify increasing these by 15.7%, 13.8%, 14.6%. All these increases, your bowls are increased 13%, and your tennis. As I say, when these are being played during the day, they're not putting on the lights, and yet you're saying that your increases are as a result of increases in energy charges. Well, you're really not supporting that by putting in these extra charges here. And the people that you are hitting, you know, there's increases for the school use. Schools are being quite seriously hit with their budgets. You hear them talking about the fact that they can't afford schools. Well, the schools don't tend to play in the evening whenever they need to have lights. They're usually working and playing during the day whenever the schools are operational between the hours of 9 and, for example, 4 o'clock. So your justification saying that it is because of increased energy, that's rubbish. It doesn't add up.
Councillor Travis?
Yeah. No, we're not saying this is because of increased energy. This is to bring our budgets into focus here. You know, we've got the big shortfall time. This isn't just an energy crisis budget. We had, as was said earlier, CPI was 12.1%. Inflation is there, like it or not. We've got 2 million to find. If we don't find it, we'll go down the route of other councils shutting swimming pools. That's so much worse for someone's health than keeping them going, but at a lower temperature. We are looking at every issue that we can to come within budgets. Yes, some of the prices have increased, but they're like 30 pence, some of these that are going up by 13.8%. And if you look at things like football going up, it ends up to be under 40 pence per person that's playing. Now go and spend £6 on a pint in the pub after, happily. I am not worried about putting football pitches up for people using it if it means it makes it sustainable. And that is what we're trying to do here, is make the budget sustainable so that we don't have to close anything, so that we can keep everything running. Maybe not as perfect as was before. Things will have to change. Things do have to get better in the sense of how much we're spending on. The changing rooms, if we did that for the budget that it actually costs us, it would go up three times the amount, not £30. Three times the amount would be what it costs the council to keep those going. We are doing our best to do a fair budget here to keep everything going, and I for one absolutely stand by this. You talked about the bowling. State pension is going up in line with inflation. So that's less than inflation. And you talked about the school. The school budget's gone up by 2.3 billion. So they are getting an increase. Why can we not get an increase? I absolutely stand by these increases.
Okay, Councillor Sutherland.
Yeah, to be honest, I fully agree with what the cabinet members said about putting prices up to keep the facility going and make it sustainable. I'd rather the borough have the facilities than close them down because they can afford to keep them going.
Anybody else wish to comment or question?
I'm coming back to you to say that I think that there are a lot of people who would take exception to the very statement that people who are going to spend however much on a pint, not all footballers are going straight to the pub to spend all their money on a pint. Not all people find 30 pence being nothing in their budget. So I think you're being very cavalier in your statements there. By all means, stand by your increases, but don't start saying that it does not mean anything to people. And you did not know that state pensions were going up, unless you've got a hotline to them down in Westminster. No one knew until this afternoon. But to have all this coming before us now and say that state pensions are going up, nobody knew they were going up unless you did, as I say. And you very possibly did, because of the contacts you have. But I do take exception at some of the comments that are made.
Okay. Anybody else? Councillor Travers.
So you, Mr. Chair, I apologise if I've upset anybody who plays football and doesn't have a pint after. I only meant it as a show of what I see with my own son and his friends. I did not mean that as everybody. So I apologise if I've offended someone by mentioning that some people do like to have a pint after football, and they will pay £6 quite happily.
Well, I wouldn't pay £6 happily, I'll tell you that. Oh, goodness, hey. That's inflation gone mad. Anyway. Anyway, any other comments or questions? Right. Anything else then on page 53? I could ask why we've got a particularly high rate of increase there, 26.5%, on the concessionary rate for the football pitch. So why is that?
That is just to bring it in line. We've not put it up for such a long time and we're so behind other areas that we needed to bring that up in line. It still only works out as £9, which again is less than 40 pence per player. I'm just not worried.
Chair, yes?
I would just say it's a point I bang on about a lot. It's the curse of the percentage. You know, a 50% increase on something that's, say, 10 pence is 5 pence. A 50% increase on something that's 100 quid is 50 quid. There's a big difference, but it's still 50%. I know I've won a fall and foul as many times previous. Perception of what the percentage is.
Okay, thanks for that. I think that's actually the last page, isn't it, about the report? So, I think that concludes that item then.
Doing the Cabinet's decision.
And we note the Cabinet's decision on that, yes?
Noted, Chairman.
Thank you. And we now move on to performance reporting, and Tracy is going to lead on this one. So would you like to present your report?
Narrative updates, they're all either on track or good, but one is reported low target, and again, there is an improvement report for that. So I'm happy to go through page by page, Chair. The performance indicator starts on page 57.
Right, so should we move on to the detail of it then? Yes, Councillor Hobbs.
L11,
so this is page 57. Page 57?
Yeah, it's actual A, target was
15.
I'm just wondering why that doesn't,
you know,
we never meet that target, do we?
Sorry, I thought if the, sorry, through you, Chair, the target was 8, would be, sorry.
Target was
15. Sorry, target 15, delivered 18. Is that what it says?
Sorry.
What number are we talking about?
L11.
Right.
So we're about seven columns in.
Yeah. Four up from the bottom.
I think you're on the first quarter, in fairness.
Yeah, so below target, and then again later on below target.
No,
that's the direction.
But under quarter two, under quarter two's performance, we achieved target and surpassed target. Mm. And the issue is that we had a deficit from the first quarter, which we're slowly eking into. And I would hope that by the end of the year that it's an important target.
It is.
Because the reason through you, Chair, I think it's such an important target is, how can we go to our residents and ask to build more houses when we've got empty houses in the borough? Now, I'm not necessarily that worried about all empty houses, because I think, you know, there is a natural, you know, there is often a natural position through you, Chair, whereby, you know, that house might be empty for 6 months as people sell, or through probate, or some of those things. It's the long-term empties. And actually, the long-term empties, you know, is a really good positive direction of travel. And so I would certainly hope, and can you be aware that through the Cabinet we put in funding into Empty Homes Officer, it's something we had to argue over a number of years to get that post re-established. And I think there is an Empty Homes Week coming up maybe next week, and I would encourage all councillors to tweet and post and Facebook or FaceTime or whatever it is on that, because I think it's an important area.
I just asked the question there, that the Empty Homes Officer is in post now, I take it?
The Empty Homes Officer is in post,
right.
Yes.
Thank you. And I've got Councillor Loughran.
Thank you, Chairman. I've got one or two comments in this page. And it's LI6, or is it LI16, the percentage of household waste sent for reuse. I'd like to ask, what can we do to improve that? I know that it's reasonably good just now, but what could we actually do to improve it?
Yes, that's his Lee. Lee, would you like to come in?
Yeah, of course.
You're going to introduce yourself?
Yeah, Lee Booth, Interim Neighbourhood Services Group Manager, so the recycling waste contract falls in my remit. The target that's referred to in the performance reports is on track, so we are satisfied with the performance of that performance indicator, but of course we're always striving to try to improve the recycling rate. The introduction of the dual stream system, the blue bag, helped to improve that figure and helped to improve the quality of the material that we send as well. And also the introduction of the blue bag ensured that the end destination of the material that we recycle stays within the UK rather than going overseas as well. In the new year, we're looking to do a communications campaign on improving recycling rates, educating the public on what can go where, and try to improve that figure even more.
Okay.
Well, that's good news, and I'm pleased to hear that, Jim. But I think I know that there are people who have moved into a new home, and you can tell me, yes, you can go online and see when your bin collection day is. But it's a long time since you have actually had a publicity campaign, and the kind of campaign that everybody can see is going ahead. You know, the days whenever you used to be in the market square, now there's a lot of folk in the market square nowadays, but you know, giving out leaflets, reminding people of what they can be recycling and how we can all help to improve it. And that's what I'm interested in. Your figures here are not too bad, but I still feel that there is room for improvement. And what I'm actually asking Chair is, what can we do to improve that even further? My next point, Chairman, before we move to somebody else, is I am very concerned whenever it tells you down the second one from the bottom about the length of time that it is taking to process new housing benefit and council tax claims. You know, I think that really we do have 20 days, an awful long time, for people to be actually waiting to get these benefits, the housing benefit. And although you're saying that it is good, I personally think, and here comes Councillor Kerr to give me all the answers, which is good, I still think that 20 days is a long time when you've got no money and you're waiting to get your council tax and your housing benefits. It's a long time for those to be processed.
Okay, so Councillor Perth, yeah.
From my portfolio, I'm just going to be really careful in what I say here.
Well, be very careful because I'm listening.
through you, Chair. I actually agree with the Councillor and think actually the performance in quarter two, so just over 14 days, demonstrates actually good performance. But I would say just a couple of other things. There are ways for people to apply for emergency discretionary. Thank you. I didn't know what I was talking about. Makes a change. So there are ways for people to apply for emergency discretionary payments. Just to pick up that point, I think it's a really important point. But I would also just say one other thing, which relates to the team itself. Sometimes central government announce grant schemes, and it's very easy to announce a grant scheme because for them it's just one scheme and it's dead easy. Generally speaking, it falls upon the district and borough councils, the lower tier authorities, to actually then dispense all those grants. And actually, if you look over the last 3 years, between COVID support grants, there's at least three or four of them. And then there's been an energy grant. Now, I'm not saying the grants aren't important, I'm not saying that at all. But actually, some of the turnaround of these grants that the officers within the financial team have delivered, I think has been absolutely incredible. Because it's not just finding the right people, it's also making sure that when the government doesn't actually give you the rules as to the scheme until, 3 weeks after the fact, and then what you have paid it 3 weeks before. Actually, some of this is quite tricky stuff, and I think they've done a pretty good job that actually no one would ever see or know And I think it's an important point just to thank the people involved, and maybe Emma can share that from the committee, maybe, if that was the committee's view.
Is that the committee's view?
Yeah.
Thank you. And can I just follow on from that, though, Councillor Third? You said earlier that you thought 14 days was actually about right. Are you then thinking of reviewing that target of 20 days?
I'm sure that's something for the new council come May next year.
Yes.
Yeah, I do know that the applications are quite lengthy, and there can be some quite to-ing and fro-ing, so that is why we have the DHP process, because obviously we need to make sure that we do the proper claims and the proper people get the funding. So there is a process. I know it seems a long time, but there is that process to make sure that people are left in the lurch in the container.
Thank you.
But Chairman, I was talking in particular about housing benefit and council type.
Yeah.
We're now talking here about COVID and all other kinds of things. This one here is referring particularly to housing benefits council.
Sorry, through you, Chair. The linkage was it's the same people who are doing the same work.
Well, if we have short of staff in that area.
I think it depends what the government throws at us.
No,
and if
no,
the government turns around and gives us another set of grants, then clearly we need to look at it. I think the other thing that's worth being aware of is, you know, clearly some of the work is being picked up centrally. And there is a bit of a transition in some of those teams as well. So, you know, it is a bit of a moving feast. And hopefully I've been able to portray some of that through you, Chair.
Thank you. I've got Councillor Cooper next.
Thank you. Yes, it was my question was a while ago, and it's going back to the housing. Thank you, Owen. Forgive me if I've put the number from elsewhere, but is there an idea of a kind of level of empty housing on average across the borough that we're dealing with? I appreciate the number of houses that we are sorting out per quarter, which is great, but over what sort of figure?
Through you, Chair, the homes we tend to look at, the ones we categorise as the, you know, the long-term problematic.
Yeah.
We can all think of homes in our communities where, you know, you think, well, that must have been empty for, you know, last time I dropped a leaflet here, and it's still empty. And it might have done something in the meantime, but you know the point I'm making. So we look at generally 2 years, and the number of homes that are empty over 2 years is about 435.
Okay, thank you.
Is that right?
130.
Apologies, Chair, for being inaccurate.
Thank you. Councillor Phillips.
It was really just a comment on the council tax and housing benefit, just to say that to make people aware that you can actually give authorisation to your housing team to speak directly to the housing providers. So rather than having to go through the claimant, they can have that direct communication, and then they will directly understand where their claim is at, and it alleviates some of the pressures off the claimant. And our housing team are really very, very good. And I know that there's been a number of times when residents have needed councillors to go with them because they've been nervous about speaking to housing teams and speaking to the council tax teams, and it's made them realise that actually the staff are actually really very good. They're not, you know, they're not these monsters that you kind of make out in your head that they're going to be when you won't have to go knocking on the door. They're actually very human people who will bend over backwards to help folks that do go in there and seek their help. And I can say that because historically, many, many years ago, I was one of the people that had to go and do just that.
Thank you. Councillor Perth.
Through you, Chair, I don't think there was a specific question, but I think it's a really important point. Sometimes there is a barrier to people crossing the threshold to come and see the housing team, and the councillor is exactly right. They are very approachable people, but we also do quite a lot of work with voluntary sector partners because if that's the way to get people across the threshold or engaged in having that conversation, that's important for us to be able to do. And I think there are probably two messages, apart from saying thank you for the views on the team. One is come in early. There is an opportunity within the Homelessness Reduction Act for people to come in and talk to us 56 days out. The longer that we have to try and resolve people's housing situation, the more successful it generally is. If we're responding when somebody is homeless, it's much, much more difficult. So I would encourage people to approach the council at the very earliest opportunity. And the second thing is the frontline teams, as you would expect in a cost of living crisis, are under extreme pressure at this moment in time. And anything that we can all do to alleviate some of the pressure on the front line has to be taken as an opportunity, and which is why I welcome some of the work that's being done by the voluntary sector in things like warm spaces and warm places. But at the same stage, it should not be unnoticed or unsaid that there isn't significant pressure, because there is significant pressure on that front line.
Thank you. Any other questions, comments on any of those items? If not, thank you for that. I don't think we need to go through all the details because we've just been discussing. So thank you for that. We'll move on to budget monitoring. So, page 63. Those have got page numbers.
The budget monitoring itself shows the position at the end of quarter two. It shows an underspend against the budget of 183,000 overall and a forecast out to reduced against the original slightly increased against the original budget. I'm happy to go through any questions members may have page by page.
Fine. So, anything on page 63? The overall picture? If not, we'll move on then to page 64. Yes, Councillor Loughran.
I think, first of all, I have to comment that there seems to be quite a lot of savings because of staff variations. And I'm wondering if that is because we are reducing the number of staff that we are actually employing. Because if you look at all of these portfolios, there seem to be the savings because of staff variations. And I wondered also on page 64, Chairman, about the reduced crematorium income. And I wondered, the reduced crematorium income and the reduced cemeteries, could that be because Cannock Chase District Council have now got their own crematorium? People now opting to go to Cannock Chase instead of coming all the way to Stafford. And I also wondered if we have any price comparison between Cannock Chase's charges for their bereavement services, shall we call them that, and Stafford Borough Council.
Okay, Lee. I think it's going to answer to that point.
Yeah, bereavement services falls under my service area as well. So we've seen a slight move from income going to Cannock. Just to make the point, the crematorium there is privately owned, it's not a council owned facility. So just so members are clear that that's the case over there. We have fluctuating activity at the crematorium, the nature of the service there, and also coming out of COVID, you know, we had more going through the crematorium time as well.
Okay, yes, Councillor.
Can I pick up the? Sorry, is that satisfactory for?
Well, what do you? Will you have to say as well, please.
I wasn't going to talk about. Yeah, I was going to talk about staff.
Staffing.
So all right. Well, I want that, and I'll come back to the crematorium as well, please.
Okay. Thank you. So, Chair, through you, a couple of things. First of all, budget is always written with the staffing at the top of their band. Something I learned last Thursday, so that was very useful to understand. So there will always there will often be a variation when some of the staff aren't at the top of their salary band. Mm-hmm. Second of all, we are filling all staff vacancies when required, and I cannot remember a time through Cabinet in the last I've only been on cabinet 8 years, so in the last 8 years, when we haven't filled or signed off a job that has come in front of us. What I should probably just also mention is the market is extraordinarily fluid, hugely fluid at the moment, and really difficult because when different industries are increasing their pay rates and it becomes attractive for people to go into other industries, and there is a labour shortage, and I think the vacancy rate within Stafford Borough is about 500, not within the council, mm-hmm. but within the wider borough. You know, it is a very difficult place, and there is quite some fluidity. And there are also people taking decisions to lifestyle decisions as well at the same stage. So it is very fluid, and I think we would probably all prefer to hold on to the staff we've got rather than to be recruiting and replacing, because we lose good people at the same stage.
Thank you.
Could our chairman ask for clarification or a definition of staff when required? What does your meaning, what's the meaning of that? We include staff when required, is it when staff are on their knees because they've too much to do, or what does your
Do you mean the, is it because when there is a vacancy?
Yes.
Right.
All right. Right.
Okay.
I'm sorry about my English.
Yes, you so should.
You did tell me about my Scottish last time. I seem to recollect.
No. I would never judge you on that.
Okay. Any other comments or questions on page 64? Yes, Councillor Cooper.
Yes. On premature questions, charges. There's also other schemes coming, you see advertised fuel cremation and things like that. Do these impact on your services? Because presumably they just go through the process rather than the charges of having the service and everything else. So does that have an impact on increasing time?
Through you, Chair, one of the things we've just introduced is because people can choose to have a basic cremation and then a full cremation, we've just arranged a new code so we can split that out on the ledger, so we can actually see if there is a trend moving away from the full to the basic cremation. So we've got better information in which to make an informed decision.
Councillor Edgler.
Yeah, I just asked about the crematorium and that, about the space the burial was and all that. I mean, a few years ago we talked about buying extra land for people to be buried or whatever. Is that still an ongoing subject? You know, are you still looking at land to be purchased? Because before long, I mean, that crematorium is going to be shocker.
Yes, Lee?
Yes, thank you. Down at the crematorium, we've got a new bereavement services manager in post, so I'll be working closely with him to look at what we need to do down there. He's already come to me with some ideas. There's the potential to clear a bit of land as well, which will give us a few more spaces, but we've got at least 10 years ahead of us on current usage before we need to look at the grounds again and see what we need to do to see if we need some more space.
Thank you. Councillor McKeown.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's just a bit of clarity between the full crematorium service or are you just lightly singed? What is it, please?
What, the difference between the basic and the full? Sorry. Yes, Lee, you want to come on for that?
Yeah, it is the budget option for a crematorium. So it's typically unsociable hours, so early, 8:30 till 9:30 typically, and less sort of video tributes, picture tributes, that sort of thing as well. So it's a very basic service. And the body still goes for the full cremation.
And I think, I think through you, Chair, obviously the same care and love is shown to each family member who is being cremated.
Thank you. Yes, Councillor Phillips.
Just to add that, I mean, you just explained one of the services, but there are people who are also opting to have their church service then send their loved ones directly to the crematorium and not have a service at the crematorium, but just to have their remains processed and then returned to them. That was the choice that I made with my late husband, and I know that trend has increased over the years as well. So it's it's less of a cost on the family, particularly if those services are being held at their own churches where they're known and it's their family church. And I know that doesn't help the crime from an economical, kind of perspective, but it is a way of doing it. And I guess that as the time's gone on, you're probably finding that that's impactful as well.
Thank you.
Chairman, I didn't quite hear what Lee said about panel chase charges and staff of Borough Council charges.
I don't think you've mentioned the charges. You said there was a degree to which there was some traffic there, but could you elaborate a bit on charges?
My understanding on the camp chase charges, they're marginally or very similar to staff of boroughs. It's within £10 or something. But actually, the reality is, many funeral directors choose Stafford because of the personal service that they get from Stafford.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Edgeley.
Terrible thing to say, but many funerals over the last few weeks actually have been crematorium. And I've got to say, I think they do an absolutely brilliant job with that. It's absolutely the way it's conducted, the way it's, I just want to say thank you. Yeah.
Thank you. Perhaps I could ask a question. There's two items here under the environment portfolio of improved income. One is the reduced dry recycling gate fees and additional waste income. Could you just provide a bit more information as to how those come about?
When we pay our gate fee for processing of the recycling, the dry recycling, it's based on what the composition is, and we get a credit back according to what we actually recycle, and also what the sale, the price of the materials is. And the reason we've had a reduction is because we're actually recycling less glass, so there's less glass in there, which has a cost to us, and also that the value of the recycled material has actually increased. So we're getting an increased income from it.
Oh, right.
So that's where
thank
that
you.
Comes from, and the additional waste income also
follows
that same trend.
Thank you. Yes, Councillor
Pitt. Thank you, Chair. Through you, well, actually it is to you. The introduction of the separate bag for paper and cardboard, which I think was done 2 or 3 years ago under a previous cabinet member, was also an influential factor. Make sure that it was clean waste.
Thank you. Councillor Cooper?
Just to clarify, if I was to judge then, it's more of a burden to recycle glass.
Yes.
Which seems contrary to what people are saying, how glass can it recycled, as opposed to plastic, the curse.
There is a cost to recycle the glass on the processing fee, and it has no value in the...
Sometimes it's important to do the right thing for the environment.
No, okay, any other comments or questions on page 64? If not, we move to page 65. Any comments or questions there? If not, then that, I think, completes that item apart from the annexes. Well, do you wish to go through that page 66? Anything on that? Page 67.
Mr. Chairman, on
Catherine
page
McKeown, yeah.
Page 67.
Yeah.
Glover Street expenditure. Yeah. And again, it's the curse of the percentages, isn't it? 108.5% in brackets.
That's the variance from the budget today. Yeah. So. Councillor Pirth, I think that's your department. Yeah. So we're on page 67, the top line.
Through you, Chair, that just reflects the increase in energy costs, and with this estimate for the full year in terms of the electricity costs.
Right. Right, thank you.
So
presumably that's the external lighting in Glover Street, Chairman.
Through you, Chair, I believe we've paid for the electric, and they have a meter which they then repay.
Right, okay. Any other comments or questions on that page? If not, page 68.
Any comments or questions? Page 69.
Chairman, could I ask please, yeah, what is miscellaneous highways functions to?
Through you, Chair, that is screen nameplates and footway lighting and a little bit of town centre maintenance.
Okay. Anything else? 69? 70?
Yes, Chairman, can I ask about on page 70? I wonder about the reduced operating costs for the dog warding service and for the pest control. Is that a reduced operating cost because we have a reduced operation? You know, is there less work being done by the dog warding service and less work being done by the pest control, which indicates that there is the reduced cost? And if so, what's causing the reduction in those areas? You know, I would have thought there's still as many stray dogs around as there has ever been.
Oh, I don't know.
And there must be as many rats.
No, I don't think there are.
A few years ago, we made a decision that this dog ward, the dog service is operated by the street scene service, so we don't have a contract. We pay street scene for what the dogs we actually collect, and then we also pay for the dogs home if we have them. But it reflects the numbers of actual stray dogs that are actually coming through, so we aren't actually seeing that many stray dogs per se, and that's why the costs are lower for the dogs.
Can I ask, Chairman, do we still share that service with South Staffs? I thought we shared it with South Staffs at one time.
Lee, I think, wants to come in on that.
Through you, Chair. We have an agreement with County Chase District Council where we carry out the stray dog collection service on their behalf.
Right.
Not currently in agreement with South Staffs Council.
And can I ask then, please, Chairman, about pest control? Because I thought whenever we made use, that's my household made use of pest control, then it wasn't really a staff of Borough Council, it was a contractor.
Through you, Chair, that is now operated by Stafford, and we also provide it for on behalf of Canic.
Right.
And it just reflects there's actually an increased cost in relation to reduced income, which just relates to the activity in terms of the wasps and the seasonal.
Okay, yes,
can I just comment about the dog warding service? Do you believe that because we've got so many good volunteers out there, organisations looking after dogs and what have you, that we haven't got a running dog running around, if you like? I think we've got so many good volunteer services out there. Yeah.
Okay, please.
Thank you. I think as well, social media, you're looking around and seeing someone who's lost a dog, and someone that's popped in the field to me, and then you eventually make contact, and the world has changed, and there's some stray dogs that's connected to that as well. Yeah.
Thank you. Councillor Southern.
Yes, thank you, Chairman. The pest control costs or service, I think they do a wonderful job. I've had to call them out for wasps, ants and rats, because we live in the middle of the village, over 3 years, so something for each year, really. But I've found them very efficient, and quite honestly, the very reasonable cost. And I just wondered how we compare with private pest control companies.
Okay.
Yeah, we're very competitive compared to private companies. We're much lower in many instances, particularly wasps' nests, for example. We offer a much more competitive and lower rate as well.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. Moving on then to page 721.
Can I comment, please, on the allotments? We seem to have quite a big expenditure for a very small income there. We're sort of doling out £25,580 a year to get £8,200 back. Can you explain that to me?
Through you, Chair,
I don't know in terms of the income, but I know that the allotments are managed on our behalf, so it's a payment to the allotments, I would assume, for the overall service to them. But I could find out the detail and actually come back to the committee if you so wish.
Okay, thank you. Councillor McKeown.
As a Borough Council rep on the allotments group. I don't quite understand what the figures are, but I do know from being at their meetings they work extremely hard to look after those allotments themselves, and a lot of volunteer hours go in. So whether that justifies the fact that we're in a deficit position or not, but they do work very hard.
Thank you. Yes, Councillor Cooper.
I was going to say, in terms of allotments, having messed around with allotment myself for a short period of time, it's damn well work, and we're talking about exercise, not only for young people, but for older people as well. I'm happy to subsidise allotments for older people.
And contributing to the food economy.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Can I just sort of change what was said and say we would be happy to subsidise allotments for all people, not just older people?
Okay.
But I think the council makes a really good point. You know, there is a lot of sociability within allotments, and it allows people to get out and do stuff. And bearing in mind we've been locked in for so many years, I think it's a useful.
Thank you. Yes?
Through you, Chair, I have actually put the finances to
work
so I can actually explain. So we paid £14,000 out of grants to support all the allotments across the borough. We also have 8,000 relating to public buildings, 5,000 housing conveyances, and the income's actually donations and recoverable charges.
Okay, so that explains. Although not all allotments, of course, receive income from the borough. Anyway, move on. 71. Anything else on that? 72.
Can I ask you what electricity is used in the borough? Never seems to be open, and I wonder why. Is there an electricity expense here? Mm. You might know yourself, do you?
Well, I don't.
I've seen the lights on.
I have been a friend of the Broad Eye windmill, but in the past.
You've never seen the lights on. Ever. You just came to have those no electricity on any of those used.
Anybody wish to comment on that? No.
If committee want, we can dig into more of the detail. We know there was a radio station there. I'm not sure if it's still there.
No, it's still there.
Is it still there?
It's still there.
Okay, well then maybe that's the answer to.
Yeah.
But seriously, if the member wants to ask a question about £4.5 grand, then absolutely.
Councillor Phillips and Councillor McKeown, but you were going to come in on that point.
Through you, Chair, looking at the system, it relates to the windmill car park.
Ah, there you go.
Ah.
Right. Yeah. So, Councillor Phillips?
I was just going to say the same as you, Chairman, and that is that the windmill radio is still running. It's an online station that's by volunteers and is obviously completely separate to Stafford FM, which is not on the radio, which is not on the internet purely, but it's on the airwaves. But they are both run by volunteers and are still both going strong.
Thank you. Councillor McKeown.
I was just going to say, we could turn it into a wind turbine and then it can generate its own electricity.
Thank you. Yeah. Anything else on that page? 72? If not, 73, which I think is the last page. Is it? No, 74. 75. Yes?
That Victorian pedestrian bridge, is it now safe? Because at one stage it was.
It's been repaired, yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah, it has been repaired. Yeah. There was only it was more the path adjacent to the bridge that was the problem. Yeah. Okay. 75. 76. We're moving on. Sorry, note the report. Yes? Thank you. And thank you for the officers and Councillor Perth. Moving on then to the work programme, page 76. So, Andrew.
Thank you, Chairman. The next meeting to note on page 79 is the 10th of January, where there are quite a few items there to be considered, and then a further meeting in March, Chairman.
Okay.
Can I just make a comment on that?
Councillor Edward,
community or wellbeing, but I don't see a lot, if this is all about figures and what have you. There's nothing there substantially about people's health or anything in there or what we're looking at, and it really concerns me.
Mm.
I think through you, Chairman, it's because we keep getting knocked back. Whenever we ask questions, we're told that's counted.
Yes.
You know, you bring points.
Yeah.
We've had issues on the agenda, and we're told that's not relevant to this, and we're not discussing it. So it's very difficult, man, to get through you, Chair, to get items onto the agenda that really are to do with health and well-being.
But can I come up, Chair,
yeah,
and just say, I think there's a lot of things probably in the future, and looking at it, that we've got to look at district being more of an input into health as to what we can do. But let's leave it at that at the moment,
yeah,
and let's, until
we Chair, that we need to be told what we can do.
Yeah, so Councillor Pert has asked to speak, yes. Would you like to...
Just going to be really careful here. Through you, Chair, there is a clear code of joint working practice. Actually, it is in the process of being updated because I was working on it again today. And it clearly lays out what is county matters and what is district matters. I think there are some very clear areas in terms of health that are clearly district matters, which are things like, health in all policies and encouraging some more of the well-being elements of health. It's very easy within health to focus in on the front door of the hospital, but the reality is, there is often things that this council can do and does do that would prevent people from getting there 10 years earlier.
Could I ask if it could be an item on hopefully the next agenda, simply to set out what those issues are that we as a district borough council are allowed to discuss and feed through to the county. Is that something that we could have on the agenda, please?
I would support that, Chair.
Yeah?
Thank you.
Okay.
It's so disappointing when you bring things forward.
Thank you.
Can we just submit a written submission to you? Is that just the code of practice would probably cover? We'll just wait until it's updated, if that's okay with you, Chair. Don't want to send you the old one. It would be done before the next meeting. Submit that, and then the committee can discuss it rather than bringing officers.
Okay.
That'd be very helpful. Well, you don't want me to have.
No. You're saying it's very helpful. So, are we all happy to accept the report then with that amendment?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you for your attendance. Thank you. Declare the meeting closed.